Well, if you were with us last week, you know that we kicked off a little Christmas series surrounding Advent, titled Awaiting Our Savior. And so as we continue that series this morning, I want to start by sharing a little story with all of you. It's a story about an old man who once found himself on a train sitting right in the middle of two very outspoken ladies. And unfortunately for him, these two ladies were arguing the entire trip about whether or not the window should be opened or closed. Now, the lady farthest from the window argued that she would die of heat stroke if that window wasn't opened, while the lady next to the window claimed that she would catch pneumonia and die if it didn't stay closed. So when the conductor came to take their tickets, the ladies pleaded their case with him. But he didn't seem to know how to respond and did nothing as these two ladies continued to argue. Finally, the older man in the middle spoke up. He said, "I have an idea. First, open the window, because that will kill her. Then close it, so that will kill her. And then I can finally experience some peace," right? Peace, right? Peace is something that I think all of us desire. And today, peace is the focus here in our second week of Advent. As I mentioned last week, the word Advent means coming or arrival. And the purpose of the Advent season is to celebrate the birth of Jesus' first coming, right? His first arrival here on earth. But it's also the anticipation or the awaiting, right, of the return of our Savior and his second coming. And so with Advent, we celebrate that he has come and that someday he will return once and for all. And in both the celebration and awaiting of our Savior's arrival, each week we light one of the Advent candles up here. And I think I, in the midst of me running around trying to find my sermon, left it somewhere, but we'll do this. I can figure this out, okay? But we normally light the Advent candles. And last week we lit the candle of hope. That's the one that's already lit in here. And today we're going to light the candle that represents peace. And I think my finger will burn here, so I think I can transfer it now. We're just going to do this. That was a joke, okay? I wasn't really going to use my finger. And we're just going to light this candle a way that we wouldn't normally do it this morning. Those of you that are watching this online didn't see all the panic I had earlier when my message wouldn't work on my iPad, and so I was running around, and somehow in that time I had the lighter, and it's probably in my office somewhere. But anyways, we lit the candle, right? The candle that represents peace. Oh, come on. Believe.
That was pretty good.
Pretty good, huh? It's amazing what prayer will do in that moment. Oh, please, Lord, please, thank you, Lord. Well, you'll notice here we've got two candles lit, but there are three other candles here. One represents joy, the other one then represents love, and then the candle in the center is the Christ candle, and it represents our Savior that we are awaiting, the one that gives us hope, that gives us peace, joy, and love. And we'll be talking about each of these candles throughout our series, but today our focus is peace. And if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Luke chapter 2. That's where we're going to begin today. And I think most of us are familiar with this section of Scripture, as it's kind of one of the most popular Scriptures read at Christmas time. And so today we're going to look at the section of this Scripture where the angels came and visited the shepherds. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. This is what it says. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." And we're going to stop there this morning. Now, this last verse here finishes by saying, "And on earth peace, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace. That's the candle that we lit here this morning. It tried to go out, trying to take our peace from us, right? But God showed us that we can still have peace. Not really, that was a joke. But this candle this morning represents peace. And this idea of peace here, it's such an interesting thought. Because when we look at the world's definition of peace, it's really referring to this absence of trouble, right? It's this idea of being without conflict, without any wars or bickering or fights. And we all know that this kind of peace hasn't really existed in our world. We've talked about this reality before. The fact that wars raged long before Jesus came into this world, and that they've continued to rage even after this visit by the angels to the shepherds when they talked about peace. And so if wars and conflicts still rage on, what were the angels saying when they claimed peace on earth? Is peace on earth possible, especially with all the pain and hurt and conflict we experience every day in our world? Well, I believe that it is. I believe the first Christmas brought us peace, this peace that the angels talked about. But here's the thing. We have to understand the angels weren't talking about world peace. They weren't talking about the absence of conflict or wars, which means strong armies or a whole arsenal of weapons or nuclear weapons won't help us experience the kind of peace that the angels were referring to here. You see, the peace that the angels were talking about is something that we cannot achieve on our own. It's something that's supernatural. And the truth is, apart from God, it is impossible for us to experience peace in this fallen, broken world. And this idea of peace is lost without Jesus. That's why Christmas is so important. Now, we all know it's in our human nature to worry at times, to doubt, to fear, to stress, to long for something more. And these human struggles and desires, they keep us from being able to experience God's peace at different times in our lives. And to make things worse, we try to fix these problems ourselves, creating this false sense of security, this false sense of peace. We try to take things into our own hands, right? We try to do whatever we can to bring security to our own lives. We do whatever we can to make ourselves feel more comfortable. We do whatever we can to have this sense of peace or calm in our lives. And the fact is, we may be able to create a sense of peace for a while. But what happens when a pandemic hits and turns our world upside down? Or what happens when you live in the Southeast and have a hurricane rip through your neighborhood, destroying everything in sight? Or what happens when an earthquake or a fire, we've seen that in our world lately, destroys our home or business and everything we've worked so hard to build? What happens when the rug gets pulled out from underneath us by things that are beyond our control, not by anything we've done on our own? How do we experience peace then, in those times. You see, true peace can only be found inside the will of God. Let me say that again. True peace can only be found inside the will of God. True peace is a gift from the Lord that we experience through the power of His Holy Spirit in our life, because peace is actually part of the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that months and months ago when we went through the fruit of the Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit that God has made available to all of us if we grab hold of it. He wants to give us that peace. And the crazy thing is, it's the same peace that Jesus experienced when He was here on this earth. It's the same peace He experienced the night before He was betrayed. The peace that Jesus Himself prayed that we too would experience. The peace that Jesus promised to His disciples and to His followers. Listen to what Jesus says in John 14:27. Jesus says these words, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus says here, I'm giving you peace, but not the kind of peace that the world gives. And so the question is, what does He mean there? What kind of peace does the world give? You see, the world can bring peace to our lives at times in certain ways, right? You know, whether it's, you know, having a strong military that gives us a sense of peace, whether it's a great police force that protects us, that gives us a sense of peace. Maybe it's good hospitals, right? Knowing that we're taken care of can give us a sense of peace, or maybe it's a stable job for some of us, or perhaps even a retirement plan. Sometimes like, oh, feel at peace because you have this retirement plan. These are all things that can give us peace of mind at times in our lives. And the world may have numerous things that may help us live with more peace in our world. But Jesus said, I'm not giving you the kind of peace that the world gives. And so what does He mean by that? What is Jesus saying there? I think He means that He's not giving us the kind of peace that is here one day and can be gone the next. Right? Because a good military can't stop every attack. We realize this from Pearl Harbor, 9/11, right? A great police force can't stop all the violence and crime that we see in our cities today. Every day we're seeing this. Good hospitals can't save everyone that enters into their doors. And a stable job is only as stable as the economy and world around it, right? We saw this through the pandemic. But you see, God's peace is different than the world. His peace isn't the kind of peace that's based upon circumstances, right? Because the world is based upon circumstances. When things are going good, when we feel protected, then we have peace. His is not based upon circumstances. You see, His peace doesn't have to go away when nations and armies fall. His peace doesn't go away when the police force doesn't show up. His peace doesn't go away when the retirement fund disappears. His peace doesn't go away when the circumstances of life are crumbling all around us. Because His peace is not based on circumstances. His peace can actually be found regardless of the circumstances that go on around us. It's the kind of peace that the world sometimes cannot grasp or even understand. Why? Because it's the peace of God. It's God's peace. Jesus says, "My peace," right? And Jesus is part of the Trinity. "The peace of God I give to you." And Philippians 4:7 describes it as a peace that transcends, or some translations say that passes all understanding, right? It's a peace that in our humanness, we can't comprehend. You see, it's the kind of peace that allowed Jesus, when he hung on that cross, after all that he went through, to say those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," right? It's the kind of peace that I think allowed Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, after being beaten and thrown in jail, to worship God and to continue to praise him. It's the kind of peace that I believe allowed Peter, the night before he was supposed to be killed. They were going to kill Peter. You may remember the story, right? And it's the kind of peace that allowed him to sleep like a baby that night. Think about that. How many of you, if you knew the next morning you were probably going to die, would sleep like a baby? Right? You'd be up. You'd be worried. You'd be thinking, "Oh my gosh, what's it going to be like? What's going to happen? How's it going?" You know, we're going to have all these thoughts going through our head. But Peter slept like a baby. That's why when the angels appeared, he was asleep. They had to wake Peter up. "Wake up! Wake up! Come on, let's go. We're getting out of here." It was that peace that Peter had. This is the kind of peace that God desires for all of our lives. A peace that goes beyond our understanding. It goes beyond all understanding. A peace that enables us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, right? But in all our ways to acknowledge him. Why? So that he will make our path straight. Regardless of the circumstances and situations that surround us, God wants us to experience his peace in this world. And so the question is how, right? This sounds good. Sign me up. I want that peace. How do we experience that peace? How do we experience peace in a fallen, broken world? Well, as I pondered this question and I studied this idea of peace on earth, God led me to Philippians 4. And so I want to finish things up this morning by reading a small section of scripture here from Philippians 4 and just sharing a few brief things that I think we can learn about peace from it. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as I read Philippians 4 verses 6 through 9. Now this is a scripture that was written by the Apostle Paul, and it's an amazing scripture. And so let's begin in verse 6. It says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." Now this section of scripture, it actually, I think, points out three things that I believe will help us experience the peace of God, God's peace in our lives. So the first thing is this: we experience the peace of God, number one, by praying to God, by seeking him. Now the thing is, when we're worried or anxious, we don't generally have peace, right? And in this section of scripture, Paul suggests that instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, we should pray. In verse 6 it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." That's prayer. And Paul tells us this because Paul knows the power of prayer. It takes things out of our hands and puts it into the hands of God. It's that practice of giving everyone and everything to him. Let me share a little story with you. A YMCA director by the name of George McCausland was the director of the YMCA in downtown Pittsburgh. And he served there at a time when the YMCA was losing membership And they were having terrible financial difficulties and just they couldn't afford enough staff. And so George found himself working 75 plus hours a week with very little sleep and very little time off. And it got so bad that he ended up having a heart attack. And the doctor told him that if he didn't slow down, he wouldn't make it through that next year. Now he knew he had to slow down, but he didn't know how could he do that? He was worried how things at the YMCA would get taken care of if he didn't take care of them. And so one morning he went out on his back porch with a Bible and a journal, just seeking an answer from the Lord. And as he prayed and as God began to speak to him, he found himself beginning to write something in his journal to God. He wrote these words, "Dear God, I hereby resign as general manager of the universe. Love, George." And he goes on to share that God accepted his resignation. Now, you see, praying these kinds of prayers, it enables us to take the weight and worry off of our shoulders, right? Because how many of us are like that? Well, if I don't do it, if I don't take care of this, how's it going to get done? And we allow the weight and the worries of the world to be on our shoulders. But when we pray, it enables us to give those things to God. Again, it's what we talked about earlier. It's what we've been doing every Sunday for the last couple months when we start worship. It's simply saying, "Lord, I give everyone and everything to you." Because how many of us are trying to bear the weight of the world on our shoulders? How many of us are trying to fix things on our own? And then because of that, we experience anxieties and worries because we're falling short. Maybe it's time to start praying more and to actually resign our position as problem solver. If we're struggling to experience peace, then one of the answers that Paul tells us here is we need to start praying more. We need to take more time to stop and give everyone and everything to Him. I think we'll be amazed at the peace that we'll experience when we do that. I've had people tell me that as I've shared that prayer with them, how it's impacted them of just saying, "Lord, I give everyone and everything to you." The second way we experience the peace of God is this, number two, by focusing on the things of God. In verse 8 it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." How often do we find ourselves worried and anxious, lacking peace? Why? Because we keep thinking about the problems. We keep thinking about the struggles and the difficulties. We focus on how bad things seem or how bad things might get. But instead of focusing on the problems, God is saying that we should be focusing on the problem solver. We should be focusing on God and the goodness of Him. Now, if you think about it, when you look at this scripture, where do we find what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, and so on? The fact is we find these things right here in God's Word. Because God is noble, God is right, God is pure, God is lovely, and His Word reminds us of these things continually if we read through them. So ultimately, this point, I believe, is about opening up God's Word and focusing on the goodness of who God is. Because God is the only one that can bring us peace. And as we focus on the things of God, it reminds us of who He is and what He's done for us. So we can experience His peace in knowing these things. And so peace, it comes as we pray to God. It comes as we focus on the things of God. And then thirdly, we can experience the peace of God by living our lives for God. In verse 9 it says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. As I mentioned earlier, the kind of peace the angels were talking about cannot be experienced outside the will of God. And so when we live our lives for God, we can actually find peace knowing that we are in His will. And when we live our lives for God, we find that He's right there with us. And so regardless of the circumstances that we're dealing with in this world, we can find peace in knowing that He is right there beside us every step of the way. That's what verse 9 promises. Put into practice, right? Live your lives for the Lord, and the God of peace will be with you. He'll be with you. So not only will you experience peace, but the God of peace is right there by your side. As I was preparing for this message, I came across an old illustration that I've used before about a skydiver by the name of Felix Baumgartner, and I thought it went with what we were talking about this morning. On October 14th, 2012, Felix broke two world records that had stood for over 50 years. He crushed the world record for the fastest dive, falling at a velocity of nearly 834 miles per hour. Can you imagine skydiving and falling at that kind of speed? I think it would be awesome, but also crazy scary too, right? Not only did he fall at the velocity of 834 miles, breaking that record, he also broke the world record for the highest free fall, jumping out of a hot air balloon at 128,000 feet. And if you do the math, he fell for 24 miles. Think about that. To fall for 24 miles, that's just crazy. He did this above New Mexico. But the 40-year-old skydiver graciously admits that he could not have done it without the help of his mentor, who was the previous world record holder for both of these records. An 84-year-old retired U.S. Air Force colonel named Joe Kittinger. Felix shared that Joe had been an integral part of him completing this dive. He shared that months prior to the record-breaking dive, Joe continually encouraged him wherever he began to doubt his abilities. And during the dive, Felix had one voice on the radio in his ear. It was the voice of Joe, who was reassuring him the whole way from mission control. And Felix shared how important that voice was during one time in particular, a very tense moment in the dive. He shares how early in the dive, he started spinning out of control. Something that had actually happened to Joe 50 years earlier, and it almost killed Joe. So during the free fall, Joe kept talking to Felix as he spun out of control. And his calm, deep voice offered Felix reassurance. He was able to come out of the spin and finish the dive, breaking the records. When the dive was finished, Joe praised Felix for breaking his records. He said Felix did a great job, and it was a great honor to work with this brave man. And an article in the National Geographic highlighted this special bond between these two men prior to the jump. And in that article, Joe had said, "I'll be the only one who knows how Felix feels at that moment when he jumps from that step, because I've done it myself." Felix agreed, saying, "Joe knows how lonely you are at that altitude." And then he added, "It feels like if Joe's there, if he's with me, nothing can go wrong." Felix knew that if Joe hadn't been in his ear throughout the jump, he never would have made it. Because having someone who knew what he was going through made all the difference in the world, he said. You see, when we feel like we're spinning out of control, it should be comforting to us to know that God is right there. He's whispering in our ear. And not just whispering in our ear, but He's actually holding us in His arms. And the fact is, He knows. He knows how we feel, right? Because He has been, Jesus has been where we are. That's the amazing reality of Christmas. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus left the glories of heaven to come to this earth and to enter this earth in the limited form of a human. God became a man and He experienced all the hurts and pains of this world. All the things that any of us have ever experienced or ever will experience. He felt on the cross that day as He stretched out His arms for all mankind. And in doing so, He opened up the door for all of us to experience His peace, right? The kind of peace that transcends all understanding. And He wants us to walk in that peace that He sacrificed so much for all of us. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus came so that He could die and pay the price and experience what we experience to help give peace to each and every one of us. And so my prayer is that we experience His peace. Not the world's peace, but His peace this Christmas season. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for the season of Christmas. And Lord, as I've said before, for us as Christians, every day is Christmas. Every day we can be reminded of what You've done for us. The fact that You came to this earth to be born of man so that someday You could die for our sins. But Lord, we thank You for this season to take some time to reflect and to be reminded of what we have in and through You. The hope that we have in You, the peace that we have in You, the joy, the love that You have poured out upon us and call us to love others in the same way. The fact that, Lord, You came as our Savior to give us life. And so, Lord, we are so thankful that You came some 2,000 years ago, and we are continuing to await the return of our Savior once again. And so we thank You for this Christmas season as we celebrate the season of Advent, Lord, as we celebrate the fact that You did come and that You will someday return. And so we are thankful for the peace that we find in that. The fact that, Lord, You are still here, that You will never leave us or forsake us, Lord, that we can find a peace in and through the reality of who You are. So help us all to experience that peace this Christmas, Lord. We give You these things. We give You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.